You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the NL West. I'm Allison Footer from MLB.com. And as we look at the NL West pennant races, really the division race is between the two teams that we expected it to be between, with the Dodgers and the Giants. Both are just having a lot of issues, I guess you could say. The Dodgers ramped up their infield progress with the acquisition of Chase Utley, so he will see some playing time, and that of course brings a very established veteran into a division race, which is what they need right now. And the Giants are somewhat rolling along, but still have to deal with the loss of Hunter Pence to an oblique strain, because oblique strains can be very tricky things and might take longer than originally thought to heal. But they will muddle through without Hunter for a couple of weeks, and we should see this thing go down to the last weekend of the season. I'm here with Ken Gernick, covers the Dodgers for MLB.com, and has a lot to talk about with everything that's been going on with the Dodgers lately. Of course, Ken, let's just get right to it with the trade for Chase Utley. So there's a lot of speculation right now about how this is all going to shake out. It's pretty no-brainer while Howie Kendrick is out where Chase is going to play, but I guess that gets a little bit more complicated when Howie comes back and they have to figure out playing time.
Well, I don't know. I think if Kendrick comes back healthy, he'll play. And you've got a former All-Star as your first guy off the bench. So I don't think it's that complicated. I mean, rosters will be expanded, so no one has to move off to make room for him. You've got Kendrick, who they don't want to run into the ground coming off a hamstring injury. And they're even talking about maybe giving Utley some time at third base or first base, although I think that the pennant race is an odd time to learn a new position after when you're a 12, 14-year veteran. But that being said, I think the worst possible problem they could ever have is to have too many good players. So I think it's kind of funny that everybody's looking for the negative in this. I don't know that there's a negative unless he doesn't hit. You know, the real reason they went for him is that Howie Kendrick was a key part of the offense, and he's out of that offense, and they're not scoring. And Utley's been hitting since he came back from the DL, and that's what they're looking for. So if he hits, he'll play, and that would be the worst possible problem they could ever have, is have too many guys that can hit.
Yeah, I think that the reason that people are kind of wondering is just it sounded like Utley, before he approved any trade, he wanted to make sure that he was going to indeed be playing. I think that was just kind of the main thing that everyone was sort of focused on, was just like he wanted to make sure he was going to get playing time. It just makes, Don Mattingly, I mean, he had to balance a lot of this last season with other players just about, working everybody in, and he seemed to be pretty good at it. So I guess he'll probably kind of rise to the challenge this time too.
Well, I think you're talking about really sort of different situations. You know, it's one thing when you go into a season, you got too many players for position. But you're talking about a pennant race. You're talking about Utley coming home to play for a team that he grew up watching, where he went to college, UCLA. He was drafted originally by the Dodgers, didn't sign. A team in the race, a team that seems to finish first almost every year, but just misses winning at all. If he doesn't approve that trade, he goes somewhere else maybe that doesn't have as good a chance to win, so he plays for a team that isn't winning. I don't think that was high on his list from the way he talked yesterday. So, I think it's common nature now to kind of try to figure out what's wrong with the deal, and maybe it's not the perfect fit, but I think from the Dodgers' viewpoint, it makes them better than they were a day ago, and that's reason enough to make the deal.
Absolutely. And Kike Hernandez, who is a kind of a utility player who's working his way into a starting job because of all of his ability, this will probably have him move him maybe to the outfield a little bit. How valuable is he to this team? Not only is he hugely talented, he's also just got a great attitude, and he can play all around the field. What does he mean to a team that's in a pennant race?
Well, he brings some energy. And, that was also a word that was used to describe Utley. You know, you're bringing in Utley, he's a veteran, and you have a presence. So there's the whole off-the-field aspect, especially when you've got a team that has some young players like Jock Peterson, who's been struggling for the second half, like Hernandez, even though he's been playing very well. Neither of them have been in the pressure of a pennant race. You bring in Utley with a World Series ring, to go along with Jimmy Rollins. And I think, that was another factor that the Dodgers were considering. It wasn't just, what's going to happen on September 15th when we have two healthy second basemen. There are a lot of other factors that that Utley brings with him. And so when you've got young players that you are putting in the lineup like Jock Peterson and Kiki Hernandez, you can't have too many veterans that have been through these wars. As Rollins called himself, a red light player. You know, when the light's on and the games really mean a lot down the stretch, you can't just have the Kiki Hernandez's and Jock Peterson's in the lineup. You need some veteran presence that's been there before. And so, I think the Dodgers are looking at this as just kind of better balance all the way around.
The news just broke today, so let's go over this. The Giants have acquired Marlon Byrd from the Reds. Obviously, this is probably to compensate while Hunter Pence is out. What does Marlon Byrd bring to the Giants?
He brings a lot, Allison. He's a professional hitter. I know that's a cliche, but he knows what he's doing up there at the plate. He's a tough out. He's experienced, obviously. And one thing I distinctly remember about him is he kind of helped the Giants win the 2010 World Series. He made a catch there at the All-Star game in 2010 that prevented a few runs. And who ended up winning that game, getting home field advantage for the World Series, and who ended up representing the NL that year? The Giants. So he's got a chance to really cash in big for him now.
Wow. That is pretty interesting. You have quite a memory there. And really, when it comes to a team like the Giants, I mean, the third week in August right now, they just kind of have to navigate through until rosters expand in September. But a loss of Hunter Pence, even for 2 weeks, is huge right now. So this just, I guess, reinforces and just they just need to kind of tread water as they're making their way toward Hunter's return.
Yeah, treading water is a good phrase. Hunter is going to be tough to replace. He means so much to them, on and off the field. Marlon Byrd was probably the best, one of the better alternatives out there as far as a replacement for Hunter. Now, when Hunter comes back, I can see Byrd playing, still continuing to play some against certain pitchers, and certainly at the very least, there'll be a big bat off the bench, which is something else they can use.
And Chris, I find this division race to be so intriguing because the Dodgers and the Giants they have like 7 games against each other coming up to the end of the season. Anything can happen, and it seems like both teams are trying to muddle through some of the shortcomings more than they're dominating anything. And from the Giants' standpoint, of course, losing Hunter Pence for any amount of time is a bummer. So what can we, I mean, these oblique things can be kind of tricky sometimes. So what can we look for as far as a return? And do you think this is going to take a while for him?
Allison, it's definitely going to take a while. I wouldn't be surprised if they feel compelled to extend his recovery time, maybe a day or two past the 15 days, just to be careful. Hunter, of course, wants to come back 5 minutes ago. So they're dealing with, they're good. But I do think, as impetuous and as, as much of a hustler and eager to play for all that eagerness that we all know, I do think he's gained some wisdom over the years. And he knows he needs to be 100% or at least close to 100% to be able to function. And so I don't think he's going to do anything dumb and rash. I really don't. I could be wrong, but, I think he'll be smart about it. And again, that may require some extra recovery time. And with him being, it may be a two-way tie as far as who's the most valuable everyday player on the Giants, Buster Posey and Hunter. So, I mean, this is going to be a huge obstacle for them to overcome.
I am here to talk to Corey Brock about a ton of stuff that is going on with the Padres and a lot of recent happenings. So, Corey, let's just open it up and explain to us all of the transactions that occurred as we're recording this about less than 24 hours ago.
Yeah, where do we start? Yeah, a number of things. Probably the most notable one. Oh, there's two of them, actually, and they are related. The Padres traded Will Venable to the Rangers for a minor league catcher, Marcus Green, and also a player to be named later who's going to be the kind of the primary piece of the deal. And we'll find out more about that as we move forward. But, and Will Venable, this is a guy, he was the longest tenured Padre, Allison, made his debut in August of 2008. A guy that played an awful lot of games for the Padres, played all three outfield positions, had some very memorable moments here, especially on defense. I think about a couple catches that this guy had, one in San Francisco a couple of years. If you get a chance, it is an absolute gem. A la Willie Mays running back to the warning track, diving to catch a ball. Rob Mike Trout with an over-the-fence home run. But, really a good Padre and a good teammate. This is a guy who's a four-year college guy out of Princeton, worked his way up through the system, and, a guy that people kind of gravitated towards, just a really grounded individual, was heavily involved in community efforts here, and just, a good Padre, I guess, if you had no other way to put it. But he'll be a free agent at the end of the year. And so obviously you're looking to recoup a little of value there. So Will Venable's gone, and we're going to see a newcomer in center field, Travis Jankowski. He was a sandwich pick a couple years ago out of Stony Brook in New York. And, he'll be in the lineup. He's going to play a lot moving forward, Allison. This is going to be kind of an audition for 2016. They like his skill set. He's a left-handed hitter. He has plus speed, plus defense, and especially in this ballpark and on these big ballparks in the National League West, they hope this can play big. This is a homegrown guy that they control for a while, so he's going to get a chance to play between now and the end of the season, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
So with Jankowski, had there been some momentum building for him, or people starting to talk about him? Was he somebody that I don't think we've ever talked about him? Has he been like on the radar of like fans and people in the know as somebody that might be ready, like, okay, let's see what this kid has?
Yeah. I mean, I think they've always really liked him, and certainly picking him, he was 44th overall a couple years ago. He sort of got waylaid last year. He suffered a wrist fracture in April and only limited him to about, a shade over, 100 or so at-bats last year. So he'd kind of been playing catch-up, but he really hit the ground running this year, hitting well over 300, two minor league stops, stealing a lot of bases, taking some walks, not striking out a lot. I think this is a guy that could profile a top of the order, a one or two hitter, ideally. And like I said, in this ballpark, I think his skill set fits pretty well. So, I think he got waylaid with the injury last year, but they're still very high on him. It's kind of funny. I know the area scout who signed him, Jim Bretz, up in the Northeast. He actually signed Will Venable, and he signed Travis Jankowski. So it's kind of like, handing the torch off a little bit with, Will had been here since 08. Now, I think the Padres are hoping this is the start of the Jankowski era.
Steve, I was watching the Diamondbacks game, the 15-inning affair with the Pirates, which I know did not end in the Diamondbacks' favor. But, wow, I mean, they rallied for five runs in the eighth and ninth innings to even send this thing into extra innings, which is not an easy thing to do against the Pirates, who have obviously a great team and a really good bullpen. So what were your observations when you were watching this unfold late in the game?
Well, I think, it does kind of speak to the fact that they do play hard. They do continue to scrap in games. I know it sounds like a cliche, but they do seem to find ways to do that because, they scored three runs in those first two innings and then were just shut down almost without I think they just threw a walk or two over the next five innings. So, it was like their offense just disappeared and you thought, okay, they're going to go quietly. And then, as you said, they started to come back in the eighth and then the ninth. They were fortunate the ninth that the Pirates made a couple of crucial errors that helped lead to the tying runs coming around to score. But it's just one of those things where they just continue to play hard. They play good defense, which you saw in the bottom of the ninth when Goldschmidt snared that line drive that was headed down the line that likely would have ended the game. And not only did he catch the ball, but then he spun it in the same motion through to second base without seeing anybody at second, but just throwing to the base and being confident that shortstop Chris Owings was going to get there, and Owings just barely got there in time to catch the throw or put a tag on Andrew McCutchen to end the inning. But it was a pretty amazing play, and that kind of set us up for a long night here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, a couple of things really stood out to me there. First of all, Kong, I guess I'm saying his last name right, Kong, he really, like, he threw his helmet and, like, had the little bucket of gum go everywhere after Goldschmidt hit his, or caught the ball, and I thought that was, I don't know, it was a little juvenile to me, just the way it unfolded. Of course, they showed it in slow motion, because so it was a lot more dramatic than maybe it was. But anyway, and the other thing was this umpire review, the manager's challenge, so they're trying to look at this play at second base, and did he get McCutchen? And every angle that they showed really wasn't the proper angle because it needed to be on the other side, which, of course, there's not a camera angle on from the other side. So were you a little surprised that that was overturned? Because every replay they showed from the television broadcast I was watching did not definitively really show that they got him.
Yeah, I guess the we took a look later and they had sent the actual the clip that they actually looked at in New York, and they had zoomed in from one of the angles to where you could just see the tag getting him. So I guess that's one of the things to always keep in mind, and sometimes, you know, I always forget this, is that they have different angles than we see on TV, and they have different capabilities than, you know, than what we're seeing here on the scoreboard or even on the TV broadcast, to kind of zoom in or sync things up or slow things down even to a greater degree. So, but I was surprised that, given the angles that we had, that they were able to overturn that as opposed to letting the call stand on the field. But it was amazing. And you talked to Goldschmidt about it afterwards, and, you know, it's the same thing with him. He wants to be humble, and so he gives Owings credit for making a great tag, and then says, yeah, I guess you could say it was a good play, but, you know, what if I had thrown it away, or what if it had hit the runner? Maybe it wasn't a smart play on my part. I guess it just happened to work out. So that's typical Paul Goldschmidt, not wanting to take a bow even for a gem of a play on the field.
I am here to speak with my good friend Thomas Harding, who is valiantly and courageously covering these Colorado Rockies for our website. Thomas, let's talk about the bullpen. And, you know, things aren't going well for the Rockies. Let's not try to paint some rosy picture right now. It's been a very rough go. But the bullpen has really, really struggled. And recently you had an article that John Axford actually got his closing job back. But, and correct me if I'm wrong, it appears that he got this job back more from default than from a wonderful performance. It seems like they just need somebody to possibly step into that role, and nobody's really maybe stepping up to the plate, so to speak.
Yeah, no one's stepping up to the plate, and frankly, the issue right now is the bullpen is performing so poorly that it really doesn't matter who the closer is, because leads never get to them. Rockies are just in a horrible stretch right now, and a number of the games they've gotten good starting pitching, two really good starts from John Gray, a couple of good starts from Jorge De La Rosa. The most recent win going into Wednesday was a complete game shutout by Chris Russen, which is only the 13th complete game shutout in Denver thrown by a Rockies pitcher in the team's history, which kind of goes to the point of it being a difficult place to pitch. But all these games, when they get to the bullpen, nothing good is happening.
So what do they do? I mean, there's still 40-some games that remain. Is there anything that they can do, like when rosters expand? I mean, obviously, if they had guys that would be performing better out of the bullpen in the minor league, they'd be up here. But where do they go from here, just trying to get through a season?
All right, so you look at the team at AAA Albuquerque, and Rex Brothers, who was one of the best left-handers in the game, he's performed really poorly there. I mean, he's getting some decent outings, but the walks and everything, they're still up. And that's been the problem there, is that it's very hard to reach into the minors when the guys you have there, guys that you think are going to be pretty good pitchers, are not performing well either. So right now, I'm looking at it the way that I'm looking at the starting rotation, that they're running through guys just seeing who will be here when they're good and who won't. And I'm just saying this is a test for the bullpen. some of these guys are going to have to step up. I mean, Tommy Kahnle, he throws at 97 miles an hour, and he's really effective in stretches, but when he can't throw a strike, it's really awful. Justin Miller throws the ball hard, and he went through a stage where he threw the ball pretty well, but because his command has waned, the results are bad. What they're going to have to do is figure out who can find a way to right the ship here and look at those guys as possibly being part of the bullpen next year. The other thing they need to do is make sure their scouts are out there looking at free agents, looking at trade possibilities, because this has to be shored up. I mean, you can look at the lineup and you can see some of the younger guys coming up, like Kyle Parker, who's, you know, performing decently in his first stint in the major leagues. And you look at the lineup and it's pretty good. The starting pitching is what it is, but there are some possibilities there. But if you can't put together a decent bullpen, you don't win very many games, especially playing in Denver. So that's gone from just part of the offseason to a big priority going into the offseason.
Thank you for listening to MLB.com Extras, the NL West.